Matthew 6:33. Before the passage, before verse 33, he talks about the Gentiles, which they seek all the physical, material things of this life. And if you analyze a lot of what they're living for, it's just basically living for the material things of this life. But, and he said that in verse number 30, let's start in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's not saying, don't ever think about what you're going to do. If you look at the context, it's all about worrying. We've been through this passage many times. He's talking about taking worried thoughts. Amen. It's not that God's telling us, don't ever think about the future. Jesus said, if a man's getting ready to build a tower, won't he sit down first and decide how he's going to do it, and if he's got enough money for it, and so forth and so on? I mean, so it's not that Jesus is saying, don't ever think about the future. He's saying, don't get into worry and anxiety about it. And one way you can tell you're worrying is if you start thinking about the future and you get tense. Amen. Keep all the care of it cast over on the Lord. He'll guide you into things that will benefit you in the future. But he said, don't take worried thoughts for these things. And then he said in verse number 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Talking about the Gentiles means the world. That's the way the world's living. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And you could add that, I mean, just the way he's saying that, you could add to that, and he plans on taking care of all these things. Amen. Amen. The Bible said he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? He delights in giving them to us. He's saying, I have things in mind, I have ways in mind to take care of you. And even financially, about all the things you need, your house, your clothing, and all your transportation, your job, everything. He's got a plan for you and me to take real good care of us. And then he gave us this amazing verse. I constantly am amazed at the wisdom of this. He said, but seek ye first. In other words, this is what you seek first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's implying there that God's the one that's going to add all these things to you. God will do that. He'll add things to you. In other words, he is interested in this area of your life. Amen. People think sometimes he's just interested in spiritual things and he's not interested in natural things. That's the way I grew up. I mean, that's the way they told us in church whenever I grew up. But the more I read the word, the more that's a false doctrine. That's a false doctrine. People even say things like, well, you know, God's blessings in the Old Testament were, for the Jews, they were just material blessings, but his blessings in the New Testament are spiritual blessings. I'd hate to display my ignorance of the New Testament in public like that. Because there's things over and over again that contradict that in the New Testament. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. How about just the verse that talks about godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life that is to come. There's profit in this life, even materially, in living for God, serving God. Godliness means living right. Living right. And then how about 1 Timothy 6:17? Because he said, charge them that are rich of this world, they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, God wants to bless us with it, but he doesn't want us to trust it. Our faith is in him. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What are you going to do with that if all his blessings in the New Testament are just spiritual? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. The context there is financial things. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Come on. Yeah. It wouldn't be limited to financial things. But the context is financial things. Wow. All things that we need? No. All things that we enjoy. Somebody might criticize you for having something that you wouldn't really need, but God won't. He said He'll give you richly all things to enjoy. You see, the warnings in the Bible are not against having anything. The warnings are about loving it, serving it, seeking it, coveting it, putting it first, putting your trust in that. And all those are heart issues. None of those are a financial condition. They are all a heart issue. Loving it, that's heart issues. Seeking it, putting it first, coveting it, trusting it. Those are all things you do in your heart. You, if you're free from them and free from letting them control you and making your decisions for you, you're well on your way to be able to have much in God through the system God set up that we have it. Well, what is that system? Putting Him first. Seek ye first. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. What are these things? The things that the Gentiles seek. The things that they need to eat. They need to wear. They need, of course, today we need to drive and to, you know, we need to live in and so forth. All these things that the Gentiles seek, He said, they will all be added unto us. The understood is that God will add them unto us. God is looking to add to you. God's not looking to take something from you. He's looking to add unto you. You know, people, they hear this just taught real clear and plain like Jesus said it, and they go, well, get rid of all the yeah buts. Yeah, but what about? And just accept what He said. Just accept what He said. Yeah, but there's warnings, not against a financial condition, not against having things. The warnings are loving them more than God, putting them first. They're making your decisions. They keep you out of serving God, being in church, you know, obeying the Word, so forth and so on. Come on. If you help me, I'll preach better. Amen. So let's dig in this verse a little bit today. Amen. What about this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I was awakened about, it was less than a month ago, probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. Well, I don't know. 4 weeks would be a month, but somewhere in there. And the Lord, I started just dipping down into my spirit, and I often do that. First thing when my eyes pop open, or I'm aware that I'm awake, you know. My eyes don't always open, but I'm aware, okay, I'm in my bedroom, I'm waking up. First thing a lot of times I do is I just dip down into my spirit. Because your mind is quiet. And I love doing that first thing in the morning. I get so much first thing in the morning. And whenever I did, this verse came up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the Lord started talking to me about it, and I want to go further with it than I went the other day whenever we were sharing in the offering. He started telling me, you know, kingdom is from two words, king and domain. In other words, seek ye first the king in His domain. In other words, let's put it this way. Seek ye first. How many of you know the Bible tells us to make Jesus not only our Savior, but our Lord. Our Lord. Amen. And so His kingship means He's on the throne of our heart. And that's another way of saying He is Lord.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
Well, we're going to get into this morning. That means if He's king, He's Lord in His domain. In other words, seek first to make Him Lord and have the domain over everything in your life.
Yes, sir.
The Lord started talking to me about kingdom, and He said it means to make Jesus Lord in His rightful place.
Yeah.
Make Jesus Lord. Well, that'll separate the men from the boys. Amen. It's easy to say Jesus is Lord, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of what that actually means, that's where I've got to make some adjustments here. I've got to make some adjustments there. And if you really go start doing that, that means he has the say about everything. If he's Lord in every area. Many Christians are willing to make him Lord in an area that they're okay with him being Lord in. But there are always issues in every Christian's life, some area that it's a struggle to let him have the preeminence in that area. And we're going to get into what that means, and we're going to get into what Lord means, and we're going to examine ourselves this morning. I'll examine me, you examine you. I'm not here to examine you. You examine you, I'll examine me. And we'll both go out and smile at one another. So the word Lord, it means a king, and it's from two words, king and domain. In other words, it's a king's domain or his dominion. How many of you know dominion's another word for domain? His dominion is his lordship. Amen. His lordship over every area of our life. Seek to make him Lord over every area of our life. That means what he says is right in all things. In every area, what he says is right. When he brings something up and starts dealing with our heart about it, we don't act like, well, no, Lord, I don't need to make any changes in that. No, no, if he's bringing it up, if he's putting his finger on it, if he's highlighting it, yeah, okay, Jesus, okay. My life is before you. My life is not my own. You are in domain in my life. Amen. And so make him Lord in every area of our life means what he says is right in all things. Amen. Now, a lot of times the reason we struggle in these things is because we want to keep the control in these areas. We want to be the one with the hands on the steering wheel. We want to decide what we want to do and what we don't want to do, which direction we want to go. We want to decide whether we do that or don't do that, or whether that's important or whether that's not important. And we want to be the ones in control. But if we're in control, he's not in control. If we're making the decisions, he's not making the decisions. He's not Lord. Amen. Say, Jesus is Lord. Well, let's actually find out and see if he is. Amen. So, what he's saying is, when we put first the kingdom, in other words, we make him Lord over every area of our lives, then he said, he will add all things to us. Now, that's a faith issue right there. Because we think, well, I can't do that because if I obey God in this area, I'm going to struggle financially, or I'm going to struggle in this area of my life, or I'm going to have to give up something, and he's going to take everything from me. That's a lie.
That's it. That's a lie. Amen.
He didn't say, make him Lord, and you'll have nothing. He said, make me Lord, and I'll add all these things unto you. Amen. This is not Jesus making you a victim. No way. This is not us becoming a victim and living without and just struggling and having nothing. This is the way into having abundance. Amen. And so he said, all these things will be added unto us. Hallelujah. Praise God. In any area that he's made Lord, he has a voice into that area. In other words, we consult him about it. We look to him to what he has to say about it. He has a voice in any area that he's Lord. Any area that we don't want to listen to him, he's not Lord. Now, young people, when it comes to dating. Oh, yeah, I see somebody just got married going, uh-huh. They just married, right? I mean, not too long ago, married, right? Uh-huh. When it comes to dating, it's not you picking somebody. It's what is in your spirit. What's he saying? But I like them. They're cute. That has nothing to do. Listen, that cuteness is going to disappear in a few years.
Come on now.
Amen. You need to know by the Spirit that they're right. They're right on the inside and they're right from you. And Jesus, as your Lord, will lead you not into a failure in marriage. He'll lead you into something that is glorious. That doesn't mean you won't have to practice the Word. We all have to practice the Word. Walking in love, forgiving, and so forth and so on. But listen, if you follow the Spirit, He'll lead you to someone who will do that. And it'll be a good marriage. Amen. They won't be perfect, just like you won't be perfect. I'm talking about in the flesh perfect. But they have a perfect heart. He'll lead you to somebody who's right with God in the sense that they're He's Lord in their life. Amen. Seek first to make Him Lord. I've seen many people struggle, even in finances, because of that one area. They just married who they wanted to marry. It's not going to work. It might work for a year, 2 years, maybe a little longer. But things start creeping in that after a while, it's just, man, this is destroying every area. This is destroying finances. This unity is destroying our home. It's destroying our kids and them being raised right. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin told a story of a young lady in a church he pastored years ago, that this young lady met some guy, and everybody in the church knew, this guy's not right for you. How many of you know you're not the only one that has the Holy Ghost? Other people have the Holy Ghost. And if every third person you talk to in the church said, are you sure? The other two just were too shy to say anything, you know. Hello. And so Brother Hagin told us about this. Everybody in the church was like, this guy's not right for you. And they weren't trying to boss her around. They're just trying to keep her out of heartache.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
But she decided, no, I want him. And she went for him and she got him. And it ended up, he had her chained in her bedroom and couldn't even leave the house. Well, somebody said, the devil, we need to bind the devil. No, we need to make Jesus Lord. You're not in authority if he's not Lord. You can't resist the devil if he's not Lord. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If he's not Lord in that area, you have no authority or you've usurped your authority. You can't exercise dominion in that area. In other words, the first way out of many of these things is repent for not following the Lord. As Lord, as the one who has a say in this thing. Well, she eventually got rid of that guy, but after a lot of heartache. You know, people come through those things and they pick up heartaches and hurts and all kinds of things. Thank God for the washing of the water of the Word that'll wash all that off. But see, now you're behind spiritually. You could be so much further ahead. So much further ahead in the blessings of God. So much further ahead in you know, wholeness on the inside. And you don't have to get all that washed out of your emotions and soul and all of that. I don't think we ought to be having all these setbacks all the time. If Jesus is Lord, He'll take us from glory to glory and from faith to faith and keep increasing us and increasing us and increasing us. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? But let's stop making these mistakes to where we do our own thing all the time. Amen. So whenever any area that He's Lord, He has a voice into that area of our lives. In other words, He has a say over that. Amen. And His voice is a higher authority than our opinion. It's a higher authority than our affections, Our wishes, our desires, our plans, it's higher than all of that. Somebody say, well, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. Oh, really? That's interesting. Go to 1 Corinthians and let's see if it's your life. I mean, we sometimes don't turn to these, but I think we just slow down a little bit this morning and let the Lord step on some toes. Amen. Look at verse, chapter number 6? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and... Dare we say it? Why don't you say it? Some of you didn't say it. Everybody. I know I'm not. What about you? You need to say, I am not my own. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's just thought. Let's just slow down. Let's think about what that means. I'm not. I don't own myself. Let's read the next verse. See if that goes in line with what he goes on to say. Verse number 20. For you are bought with a price. Somebody bought me. I don't belong. My life doesn't belong to myself. I'm bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Underline the next three words. Which are God. What does that mean? They are God's. What does that mean? They belong to Him. Yeah, but it's my life. No, no, wait. Wait a minute. Who said so? Well, I came to Jesus to get saved. Well, you need to go a little further than that. None of these blessings in Matthew 6:33 belong to you just because of salvation. I've never said that before. He didn't say they belong to you because he said, put first the kingdom of God. Put first the kingdom of God. The king's Lord, make him Lord. The king's domain. You become the king's domain. Amen. When you become the king's domain, then all these blessings will be added unto you. Huh? That's not because of salvation. That's because you made him Lord. The word Lord means king or ruler over your life. You're not on the throne of your life. You're not the big kahuna in your life. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought. Amen. There's a verse over in 2 Corinthians chapter number. In fact, let's just go there. I don't think maybe we ought to take just kind of. We ought to just go ahead and let you see it in your Bible. Because it's in your Bible too. Not just mine. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let me ask you this. Let me illustrate this way. Let's say you and I are doing something and a huge object of some kind. Let's use this. Let's say we're working on a car. We got it up on a jack. And I step out for a minute and to get a tour or something. You're still underneath there. And I see the corner, you know, that those things that hold it up in the corners. I see that thing slipping. And you're under there. And I see it starting to go. And I real quickly reach under there and push you out from underneath there. And then I get back and the car falls and you're spared. Well, from now on, you're as good as a dead man. You're alive, but you're as good as dead. What do you mean you're as good as dead? In other words, if it hadn't been for me, you'd have been dead. Right? That's what Jesus did for you. If it wasn't for him, you'd be dead. Spiritually and out of fellowship with God, and maybe even physically. Well, if you're as good as dead, then who do you belong to? The one that saved you. The one that saved you. You ever seen some of those stories? People, maybe they had an accident and some person, they call them an angel. They weren't an angel. Some person came along and got them out. And from then on, they always, bless that person and they thank them and send them Christmas gifts and so forth. Because if it wasn't for you, I'd have burned up in that car that was on fire or whatever, you know. They're very conscious that they owe that person something. Well, when it comes to Jesus, he earned your whole life. Because you're as good as dead and on your way to hell. I mean, let's just shuck the corn. So he has earned your whole life. He has bought and paid for it. Your decisions belong to him. How you go, what you do, the decisions you make, whether you're going to put him first, he's earned your whole life. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, are you still out there?
Yes, sir.
So, any area that he's Lord, he has a voice into it. And his voice is higher than your plans, opinions, affections, wishes, or anything like that. And you are no longer the highest authority in that area of your life where he's Lord. Amen. That area is under his control. Amen. There's one seated on the throne over that area of your life. And you're under his command. You're his to command in that area. Did you get that? You're his to command in that area. You belong to him. Lord, whatever you say. It's not, I'll decide if I'm going to do it. No, not if he's Lord. His wishes are commands. We have a free will and we can choose not to do it. Because God doesn't want people that love him because they're a robot and he programmed them to do it. He wants free choice. But he has earned the right for you to make him Lord and to be able to command you anything he says. That includes with our time, our attention, what we say, what we do with our money, what we do with our talents, our skills, anything we have. Hallelujah. He decides what we do in that area of our life. He decides what we say. He decides how we handle decisions. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? In other words, just stop. Just stop calling me Lord. Don't even call me Lord. You're lying. That's what he's saying. Don't just call me Lord and don't do what I say. In other words, there's more to being him being Lord than us just making a confession he's Lord. Now, when he is Lord, his word is Lord. What he says is Lord. You and I can't, his lordship really is not really effective in our life unless we renew our mind to his word. Somebody said, he's Lord. But if you don't know anything he said, you're not practicing what he said. And so really, he's not. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, lordship means that those when the way Jesus exercises his lordship is by speaking to us. Amen. Remember the rich young ruler, for example. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, because the rich young ruler came and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments, so forth and so on. He said, I've kept all the commandments from my youth. And Jesus said, one thing, there's one area, one thing that you lack. He said, go, sell what you have, give to the poor. Now notice, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible said he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. And it says, because he had great riches. Well, yeah, But it was more than that. There were others that had great riches that were following Jesus. Remember Herod's steward, Susanna, the wife of Herod's steward, I believe. She was very wealthy. She's following Jesus. It wasn't that he had great riches. It's that those riches had him. In other words, they were making his decisions for him. And when Jesus said, give that away, you'll have treasure in heaven, take up your cross and follow me, he couldn't do that. He was sad at that because Jesus wasn't Lord in the area of what he did with his money. Well, now that brings it down home. Now it's no longer just a sermon. Now it's like, oh, whatever he says to me in finances. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the things that Pastor Debbie and I are practicing is obedience in finances in all things, but obedience quickly. Not sitting and thinking about it. Amen. Not sitting and deciding if we're going to do that. No, if we heard it, we might take a moment to make sure we're hearing clearly. But I love what Pastor Nancy said. The devil will try to get in on your desire to be a blessing, and he'll twist that and try to empty all your accounts. Just a religious thing. I've said no to some people before. I have. I said no to. I remember one particular man. I said no. You keep that. In fact, you go sell it and give it to your get some things for your family. He was going to give us a vehicle. I said no, sir, because I knew in here it wasn't right. It was a religious duty thing, and I'm not interested in. Anyway, but whenever you know it's the Lord, we practice this, get it done quick. Get it done quick. Because that's the way I'm showing him I respond to your commands in everything, and I do it quickly. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you've got to follow instructions. In order to make Jesus Lord, you have to follow instructions. Now, this is why some people don't want to get too close to the Lord. Because they're afraid he'll start talking to them about something that they don't want to do. And then he's going to take something from them and they're not going to enjoy their life. That's a lie. Matthew 6:33 said so. That's a lie. We've got to hold ourselves in the arena of the renewed mind in light of Matthew 6:33.
That's right. Amen.
He's not taking something from us. He's getting something to us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Many, fear thinks his dealings are taking something away from us. But all he's often dealing with is getting us out of being the one in charge and making the decisions in that area. That's what he's taking from you, not the good life. He's getting you and I out of the way. Because we're in the way sometimes of our own blessings. By holding these things in our hands, it's a little like a young kid learning to tie his shoes, and he can't do it yet, but you get down there and you tie his shoes, you get started, he goes, okay, I can do it now, Daddy. He wants to finish it, and he gets it all messed up. We do that. We get our hands on it, and we push God's hands off of it, and we get it all messed up. And then we blame the devil. It wasn't the devil. It was that we didn't let the Lord be Lord. We're going to get this. This is a major key to this era. And so what he's dealing with a lot of times is getting us out of being the one in charge of the decisions in that area. He's getting our mind and our flesh out of it. He's weaning us off of the one being in the place where we're the one getting our way and doing it our way. Amen. Where he's weaning us off of the place he's to have in our lives. Ooh, you didn't get that. There's a place he's to have in our lives. You know what that place is? According to Colossians, let me read Colossians 1:18. It says, and he is the head, talking about Jesus as the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ooh, there's one you don't see on people's bumper stickers. What does that mean, preeminence? Well, I knew you would ask, so I looked it up. It means foremost. This is right out of the Greek dictionary. Foremost in time, place, order, or importance. He's the most important. What he says is more important than anything you think about it. He's the foremost in time. Foremost means first. In other words, with our time, he's first. It's not, I got a lot of things to do, and if I can, I'll go to church on Wednesday night. How about making him first? People struggle in the areas of life whenever actually this is the main area. He's not preeminent in all things. They're preeminent in most everything. They're the one. They're the big kahuna in their lives. So it means foremost or first in time, place, order, or importance. Order being like number one, the number one comes out, the number one comes before number two. Number two comes after number one. One, two, three, four, five. How many of there's order to the alphabet? There's order to the numbers. There's order to all these things. And whenever he's first, that means he's number one. Not number two. Not second. Not after I do this, Lord, then you can have my life. That's an open door to the devil. He'll hold you in that arena for the rest of your life. You got to just say you're first now. Now. Not later, not putting this off until later. Now. I'm going to pray and find out what you say now about everything. I no longer am my own. I make you Lord. You have the say in all these decisions. And he'll start taking you into from glory to glory to glory. It might not be by the end of next week. But he will begin a process to where he gets you out of the one being the one making all the decisions. And he takes his place of lordship because you gave it to him. He won't just move in and force his way into it. He waits to be invited. Oh, did you get that? He waits to be invited. He waits to be invited. And he waits to be invited in every area. Well, it's been so long I've been waiting for a husband. I'm just going to have to do this on my own. You just slipped out of Jesus being Lord. It's an open door to heartache. Huh? Are you trusting him? See, faith doesn't do that. Making him Lord is a faith issue. Deciding that he's not going to get it done, he doesn't know how to get it done, I got to do this myself, is a fear issue. Yes. You're afraid it's not going to happen by putting him first. It's a doubt issue. It's an unbelief issue. We're seeing it. So, praise the Lord. How about everybody still glad you came this morning? He's getting us out of the place where we are in charge of our lives. And he's getting us off the throne of our life. And once you and I get out of the control of these things, amen, you pass the test and you learn the lesson to let him be Lord, you'll be amazed at what he'll bring into your life. He will add. He will start adding. And you're going about making him Lord, and you turn around like, whoa, look at that. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. And then you go, whoa, look at that. Whoa, suki, suki. But people that can't use their faith, can't trust him in that, they got to do it themselves. I found this out about God. He'll do you better than you will do yourself. Than you would do for yourself. He'll do you better than you would. But you have to trust him in that. And Matthew 6:33 said, he will add all these things to you. And I'm telling you, he keeps adding and adding and adding. And you're not the one doing the adding. He's doing the adding. Whoa. And he can add to you way better than you can add to yourself. Amen. He can be trusted. Amen. I said he can be trusted. Amen. Once you put past the test to let him do it, then now he can trust you because you're free from it. And you can be loaded and free from it. Would do anything he says with it, because you know he's the one that gave it to you, and the way that came was his lordship, and the way to keep, because he said he will keep adding, and so if he says do this with it, then you do it because you know he's got increase in mind. He's already added and now you have it, but if he says do this with it, you go, oh, he wants to add some more, so I do this and I do that and I obey and I obey. The same principle stays in place. It's just that everything gets bigger. What he was adding was small, and you were faithful with that and kept him Lord and did what he said with that. And so he said, okay, they're faithful in a few things. I'll make them ruler over much.
That's right.
Notice, whenever they were faithful and made him Lord, he made them a ruler.
Yes.
He made them a ruler by making him Lord. In other words, he gave them rulership over much for him because he's the Lord. He's still their Lord, but he gives them much to have charge over. Why? Because he kept adding and adding and adding. And you kept saying, Lord, this is all yours. Do whatever you say do, I'll do it. He says, do this. You go, oh, yeah, great, but. See, real prosperity is not real prosperity. I'm talking about divine prosperity. Now, there's other systems that have a lot of heartache with. The Bible said in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Other systems have sorrow with it. But this system has no sorrow with it. This is more sure prosperity than any other way you can prosper. But what it requires is that you not see yourself as the owner of anything. You are the steward of it. He gives it to you to own. Yeah, we understand what he's doing. But also, he is Lord over everything, and he has a say over everything. And if that makes you afraid, you don't know him yet. You don't know him yet. Ah, glory to God. Get to know him. Get to know him. How many of you believe Jesus made God his Father, the one who was Lord over his life? He wasn't just doing. He said, I don't say what I think. I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father. That's making his Father Lord over his life.
Amen.
And think about, you should read. I was reading just one chapter the other day. I was reading Luke 22, I believe it was. And in that one chapter, there were five. One chapter, Luke 22, I believe there were five. If I remember right, five, or was it four with one extra gift of healing, but there were, five words of knowledge about how to get into provision in Jesus' life. The first one in that chapter is whenever they needed, it was Passover, they needed to observe Passover, and they didn't have a place because they didn't have a room to observe Passover. And Jesus said, go and prepare for the Passover. And they said, well, where? Jesus said, go into the city, and You'll see a man carrying a water pot, and he'll meet you. And then, so just follow him. Whenever he goes into a house, follow him into the house. And when you follow him into the house, say, where's the goodman of the house? And whenever you find the goodman, say, where is the upper room? The master has need of it.
That's right. Exactly.
For observing Passover.
Yeah.
He didn't ask him for it. He said, where is it?
Yes.
So the disciples went down to that. They saw the man, and it came to pass, just like they said, and they went in and asked the goodman, and he said, it's just upstairs. It's upstairs right here. And they went up, and there was a room up there all furnished and ready. And the disciples said, well, the master wants to have Passover right here. Okay, it's yours. How did he know that? That was revelation knowledge, getting him into supply. That doesn't happen for people that don't make Jesus Lord. You make him Lord, he will reveal where supply is. He'll tell you where it is. He'll guide you into it. If it takes gifts of the Spirit, he'll guide you right into it. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that another time he needed a donkey? And he told him where it was. Go down there and there's a donkey tied, just get it and bring it. Amen. Another time he needed tax money. Revelation came. Tax money's in the fish's mouth. Go fishing, Peter. That's whenever Jesus is Lord, there is always a supply for what he is Lord over. Hallelujah. You can't make him Lord and then he forgot. I forgot you made me Lord in this area and I don't have anything for you in that area. No, he said there's a supply there and he'll add it all to you. Woo, glory be to God. Hallelujah. To fail to make him the preeminent in all things is to say, I know better. I can do better than you can do, Lord. Amen. But see, really, you're going to give up to do. If you do that, you're going to give up a great life and hold on to a mediocre one. I don't want a mediocre life. I want a life that people go, glory to God. And I say, exactly, glory to God. This is not me doing this. This is him doing this. And God's looking for some illustrations, some living epistles known and read of all men that people can look at and say, whoa, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I want to know him. Hallelujah. But see, he's asking you many times to give up your mediocre life so he can give you a great one. I saw a cartoon. It's probably right. I probably could find it pretty quickly and show you. But anyway, it's a drawing of Jesus kneeling down, and there's a little girl holding on to a teddy bear. You ever seen that? And he's got and it's just a little teddy bear the girl has, and it's kind of ragged. And he's got Jesus behind his back where the little girl can't see. He's got this great big teddy bear. And Jesus is holding out his hand saying, let me have it, to the little teddy bear. And she's like, I can't give it to you. But see, he intended to give her something great in exchange for the mediocre. Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I said, I love that. Amen. He's asking you to give him your uncertain prosperity so he can give you something that's certain. Yes. Amen. He wants you to give him what you can do for yourself so that he can give you what he can do for you. And trust me, what he can do is much bigger than what you can do. Much bigger than what you can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you give him to be Lord over, he gives you the power over it to win. Amen. He really turns you around and gives you dominion over it. Remember? You've been faithful over a few things. Be ruler over much. Faithful over a few things means you've been steward and did what I said with these little things that I've given you to do. The Lord, what the Lord does is he proves us in littler things and then begins to take us. Whenever we prove that he's Lord and we'll do what he says, he'll say, okay, now I can trust them to take them into more. Yeah. And that's why some people just stay where they are and others just keep increasing and increasing and increasing. And the ones that keep increasing, the ones that aren't moving forward, they get jealous. Yeah. But listen, he's been running the same test on them as he's been running on everybody. They've just been flunking. I can't afford to do that. Well, if I did that, where would I get enough money for this or that? Okay. Let's go back to kindergarten. 2 + 2 = 6. No. We got to stop flunking. I said we got to stop flunking. And listen, God will move this very fast if we'll just move with him fast. We set the pace in these things. So many times people say it's taking so long. It's because we just slow to obey, slow to make him Lord. Well, everybody say amen. That got real way too quiet. And really doing this is really rare. I said it's really rare. But it is amazing freedom. You ever read that verse, 2 Corinthians, where it is at 3, I believe, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty? Really, the Greek said where the Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord. See, the way he's Lord is by the Word and the Spirit speaking to us. And where he's Lord, there's what? Liberty. Liberty. Not bondage. No. Liberty. Hallelujah. Why liberty? Because you don't have to figure everything out. You just follow instructions. Amen. You don't have to pay the bill. You're doing His will, so it's His bill. Hallelujah. 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 You can't serve God and mammon, and you can't serve God and needs. Needs will put pressure on you. Needs will scream at you and say, I can't do what's in my heart to do. That means Jesus isn't Lord. If you can't obey the Spirit in the presence of a need. The way out of the need is to respond to the Lordship of Jesus. Because He'll lead you right out of the need, but it's going to take faith. And when He says to you, it's going to be your way out. But needs will scream at you and say, you can't. You and I need to get good at obeying the Lord when needs says, I can't. I'm not talking about writing hot checks. I'm talking about saying yes to the Lord and not letting needs be the one that dictates everything all the time. Hallelujah. I'm telling you where real victory is. Colossians 1:18 in the Amplified, so that He alone in everything, say alone, not you, not money, not nothing, in everything. How many things?
Everything.
And in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Whoa. Amen. Praise God. Takes faith to do that. Takes faith to trust Him. Your flesh will say, I don't want to do that. I don't think I want to do that. I don't trust Him. You don't know Him. Amen. Did you get what I said a while ago? What He's doing is not taking something from you. He's moving you out of that place where you're the one in charge of everything. He'll run tests on you. He'll say, do this. He did it with Abraham. He told him, the Lord did tempt Abraham and said unto him, He didn't tempt him with sickness. He didn't tempt him with a tornado blowing his house over. It means to try, to put on the test, to see if he would obey Him or not. He tempted him by saying something to him. And the Lord will run tests on you. Do this.
I really can't.
All right. Okay. You have to stay in kindergarten then. You have to stay in kindergarten then. That's why people don't grow. That's why they don't progress. I don't want to stay. I don't want the thought of staying where I am right now is too scary to say no to the Lord. I got to say yes. I got to say yes. Anybody else with me? I got to move into all that He's planned for me down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Takes faith. I said it takes faith. Don't let fear keep you from making Jesus Lord. Amen. He has your best interests at heart. Hallelujah. You give Him that place, He'll make dreams come to pass. Amen. I said amen. He's not making you a victim. Amen. It's not your life. He's Lord. Hallelujah. No longer you that lives, Jesus. Paul says, no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Glory. You know what that means? That means Christ lives in you. That means you're dead, and now He's the one that lives through you. It's not your life anymore. You've been bought with a price, and you're His to command. He just gets His way. It's just Jesus using my body. Hallelujah. There's freedom there. Because whenever He instructs something, then He's got an obligation to meet the need and to provide what you need to do that.